you turn your Bibles, Luke chapter 10. When you find Luke chapter 10, ask you to stand, and I'm going to be using Brother Tim's mic. Mine's messed up, so we'll use his this morning. But Luke chapter number 10, we'll start reading at verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? He answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Now, I'll say just a little bit about that and come back to it in the introduction, but remember what's said in those verses. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answered and said unto him, and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came, looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now that's reading through verse number 37. Want us to have prayer, then we're going to try to bring you a message, or at least begin a message on the subject of panorama view of salvation. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name now that you'd help us, Lord, at this time. I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for the singing of the songs, and Father, for the choir, and for Miss Myra and the song. Lord, we thank you that you have blessed our hearts, ministered to us through the singing of the songs that glorify you. And Father, we bow because you are Jesus, our Savior, and you are our Lord. And Father, we deny today, we just say thank you for loving us and saving us. And then, Lord, we think of our dear brother, Frank Deal, and I pray for him. I ask even right now that you guide the doctor, the nurses, those that will be helping him, and I pray, give him wisdom and the ability to do whatever needs to be done. I pray you touch his body according to your will for your glory, and we'll praise you and thank you. But Lord, help all of us that are here now. We're here to hear from the Word of God. We're here to hear from heaven. I pray for the Holy Spirit to do a work, speak to our hearts, deal with our lives. And I pray, Father, you touch with the power of the Holy Ghost to bring conviction and encouragement and strength where it's needed. Now, I need you in a special way. I pray for that divine touch, that anointing power of the Holy Ghost, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I said we'd come back to these verses in verse 27 as this lawyer was answering Jesus. He stood up now. He's really trying to tempt him. He said in verse number 25, tempting him. And he's asking about what he had to do. And that's what most people ask, what must I do so I can get to heaven? I want to cry out and tell him it's done. Amen. Jesus has already paid the price. He's already made the way. Now Jesus began to talk to him and ask him, how do you read the prophets? What do you say? And he answered well, in fact, in that verse. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might. And if you do that, you can't love the Lord like that without trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You didn't come out of your mother's womb loving the Lord like that. The Bible said you came out speaking lies. And you have a sin nature in you, but I'm glad when Jesus comes in, you get born in the family of God. He certainly changes how you love the Lord. Amen. If you never got changed, you never got Jesus. He didn't come in your heart and your life. And I'm glad that we can know Jesus Christ personally as our Lord and our Savior and know that we're saved. Jesus told him to go and do that life. If he started loving God right, he'd see that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, as others did. And he certainly would come to know him. I just want to say to those that are unsaved here today, I can't help but think about Brother Frank, and I'm sure that all your hearts and minds have thought about him. And I wasn't in here when it happened, but toward the end of Sunday school, the way I understand it, he just fell over. And he quit breathing, and Brother Jimmy Cox went to him, and some nurses around here and helped him and got him to breathing and the color come back to him. And he didn't have pain, just said he's dizzy. So we don't know what exactly happened to him, don't know that. But my point is this, and I'm sure Brother Frank wouldn't mind me using him as an example. You do not know that you're going to even get out of the building. When you come to the house of God, you have no guarantee that you're going home, walking, that you'll get out of here that way. You don't know that. It doesn't make any difference what age you are, by the way, either, because young folk fall over like old folk do. Now, we pray that God see fit to let Brother Frank stay with us and that he'll be living, and that be the will of God. He'll be all right. And if it's not, he'll be gone to glory. But I say this to you. He's saved as a testimony of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I've been faithful down through the years. I say hallelujah. Fact is, he's the first man I ever talked to from Gateway Baptist Church. Of course, Gateway hadn't been in existence long, but I got back to my motel room in West Jefferson, North Carolina. I was there preaching, filling in for a preacher, and I had a phone call waiting on me when I called that number in Brother Frank Deal, and I talked to him. And the first man I met when I came down was him. I went by the carpet shop and met him. And so we go back a long time ago, but I'm saying this to say to you today that you don't know when you're going to drop over. I don't know when I'm going to drop over, but I'm glad I know where I'm going if I do drop over. Amen. And if Brother Jimmy Cox don't get there and get started on me in time, or somebody else doesn't do it in time or whatever, I'll be in glory, hallelujah, shouting victory on the other side. Amen. And by the way, Brother Cox, I appreciate what you did. I appreciate the nurses that went to him and all they did. But I tell you why he went out of here breathing, because God saw fit to let him breathe. If God didn't let him breathe, he wouldn't breathe. It's the grace of God. Amen. Every breath we take is the grace of God. And so praise his name today. I'm glad, though, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he'll save you if you'll come to him and trust him as your Lord and Savior. What must I do, preacher? You must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. I believe the Holy Ghost has to make that real to you, who he is and what you are and where you are. And when the Holy Spirit begins to move, and who knows, but what the Holy Ghost did not just let say, well, he's God. And so just let Brother Frank pass out this morning and do whatever happened to him. Quit breathing for a few moment. Let's use him for an example and help you that are unsaved that you may come to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I don't believe this accidentally happened to him. I think God allowed it to happen to him, and so God knows what he's doing. Aren't you glad we serve one that's got it all under control? And he knows everything from beginning to end. He knows how it's all going to come out. And he knows everything's going to happen right now. But he also made us so that we could choose what we're going to do with Jesus Christ. He said, whosoever will, let him come.
and take him. He tasted death. Hebrews 2:9 says that he tasted death for every man, not just some men, but every man, and made it possible for everybody to be saved. The Spirit and the bride say, come. In Revelation 22:17, Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. And let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life free. I say to you, it's a whosoever will gospel. Amen. Amen. Will you? Will you come and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And you say, preacher, you're going to give an invitation right now. I feel about halfway prompted to, but fact is, invitations open all the time around here. You get under conviction bad enough, you won't get saved, you can come get saved. You can get saved in the pew, but you can get saved. But you have to yield your life to Jesus, trust him fully, completely for your salvation, and believe them and trust him for that salvation. Amen. Are you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Praise God, that's good. Last night we had a good fellowship down to Fellowship Building, had our Christmas banquet. Had a great time together, enjoyed the fellowship and the good food and all that happened down there, and the singing, and we enjoyed all that. But just think, we're going to go to glory one day and have fellowship forever and forever. And you're talking about a meal. One day we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and whoop, where Brother Grubbs, he's my whooper. And whoop, hallelujah. I'm glad we're going one day and be there to marriage supper of the Lamb. There's going to be some marriages coming around here for long. And it's always a great time, excitement and all that. But I tell you right now, I'm looking forward to that and in glory one day. Amen. The church, the bride of Christ, and he's the bridegroom. And we're going home. Was that in your message? No, it wasn't there, but it got in there. Amen. I'm just rattling this morning, but I want God to use what's happened to help you. And I want you to see this in this, because we're beginning a panorama view of the salvation of man. But several things we'll talk about, but I'm not getting about one of them today. But I'm telling you this morning, but I'm telling you right now, Jesus saves sinners. Amen. He'll save anybody that'll come. So I trust today that you'll let Jesus Christ be your Lord and Savior. And by the way, it wouldn't bother me a bit if somebody jump up right now and start down the aisle and say, I need to get saved. We'll just call time out and get with you and pray with you and ask God to save you. And you can do the same. Put your faith and trust in him and shout hallelujah and take time out and shout a while and just, amen. You say, preacher, you believe I could have? I do. As much as I'm standing here, I do. God's able to bring that kind of conviction, that kind of drawing power. And I'm trusting him to speak to your heart and draw you to the Lord Jesus Christ that you may be saved. You say, preacher, I'm already saved. Well, you're sure not living like it. Amen. I'm not talking about everybody. I'm just saying, I know a few of you around here, and I know some that have come into worship. You say, preacher, you being a judge? No, I'm just inspecting fruit.
Amen.
Amen. Bible said, by the fruit ye shall know them. And you can't, if you're going to know them by the fruit, then you got to inspect fruit. I thought it was good preaching, amen. And I throw that in right there. And so we're just expecting fruit here today to see where you are. And what I think is not the bottom line of it. It's what God knows is the bottom line. And God knows where you are and what you need and how he can help you. And I'm glad he's the one that's able to save unto the uttermost those that will come. If you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not saved, I believe you're already under conviction. God's already tugging at your heart. You say, well, I feel something inside. And then telling me, I need to get saved. That's something, not the devil, I can tell you that. The devil doesn't tell you need to get saved. It's God telling you need to get saved and born in the family of God. So he loves you enough that Jesus went to Calvary and died, rose from the dead, and he'll save every sinner that'll come, and he'll save you. Now, in our text we read here, let me show you. We're talking about the thief, and then we see a certain man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Then we see the Good Samaritan coming by. Now, there's three philosophies of life. One of them is, what's yours is mine if I can get it. We got a whole lot of that going on today out in our world. What's yours is mine if I can get it. That's what they think. And then there's another philosophy of life is, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. Got a lot of that going on around here today in our world. Amen. And then another philosophy is, what's mine is yours if you need it. And that's a good mission, amen, right there. That'll help missionaries. And so we must share what God has blessed us with if we are to be godly and do what God have us to do. Somebody put it like this, and this is a quote. He said, three philosophies of life is beat them up, pass them up, or pick them up. Amen. So I guess you could take that and use it. And so what you going to do? What's your philosophy of life? How's your philosophy of life anyway? And let's look at, we're going to look at that thief first of all today, if you would with me, please. Because he speaks of Satan himself. And let me lay a groundwork for that to say he speaks of Satan. In John chapter 6 and verse 70, you remember Jesus been making some demands on his disciples and they began to leave him. And Jesus asked me, so go away. But then he said, one of you is a devil. He's speaking of Judas Iscariot. He didn't say going to become a devil. He said, one of you is a devil. And then if you look back in John chapter, or look on over in John chapter 12, you'll find that verse 6, I believe it is, it said that Judas Iscariot, when he's talking about the woman that brought the ointment in and anointed Jesus with it, and he said it could have been sold and given to the poor. He didn't say that because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Because he was a thief. And so Judas Iscariot called Satan, he said a devil. He's also called a thief. So I conclude today, the devil is a thief. No question about it. He is a thief. We wouldn't have to use Judas to conclude that. If you read the Bible, you'll find the devil is a thief. I just want to give you about four or five things this morning that the devil will steal, is trying to steal today. And I pray that God will use it and speak to our hearts and give us that we need. Because he is a thief and he's stealing. And we realize the wrong of that. But the devil, he doesn't care. He's out to get what he can get. And he's one of those, he's got that philosophy, what's yours is mine if I can get it. And he's trying to get your soul if you're unsaved. He wants to keep you lost, keep you away from Jesus. And then if you're saved, he wants to keep you your testimony bad. He wants to rob you of your testimony. And so you won't be anything for God and not used of God. And he'll do everything he can to hurt you. Amen. So let's look, first of all, he's a thief because he tries to steal souls. You remember back in Genesis chapter number 1, he said to Eve, he said, yea, hath God said. You know what he's doing? He's putting a question mark on the word of God. God had already said what he said, but he said, yea, hath God said. In other words, he's saying, now, did God really say that? Is that what God really meant? I'd like to call letters for that radio station. Amen. And winds up with KJV. Amen. That's good. And but he's trying to rob you of your soul. He tries to put a question mark on the word of God. And I'll get back to that in a minute. But let me say this. He also went on in Genesis chapter 3. He made this statement and said, ye shall not surely die. He just lied about it. Because God said, in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. But then the devil turns around and said, you're not surely really die. It's not really going to happen. And he lied about that. Because when she did eat of that fruit, she did die immediately spiritually. She became dead. She began to die physically. And she would have eternally been separated from God had not God intervened and made a way for her through the blood of the Lamb. And thank God, looking forward to Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But I'm saying to you, the devil's out to steal your soul. And we talked a lot about being saved here already this morning in the introduction, but I'm trying to tell you today, the devil wants to take you to hell. He wants to keep you away from God. He wants you to not listen to God's word, not listen to God's man. He wants you to go to hell. He wants you to be away from God, never turn to God, and go ahead and live your life as though there is no God. That's what the devil wants you to do, but he's trying to steal your soul. It's what he's trying to do to damn you. And I pray that God will help you understand that. I want the Holy Ghost to make it real to you so you'll come and realize the truth of what he's really doing to you. Let me say, number two, what the devil wants to steal is the word of God. He wants to steal the seed, if you would. If you're going to keep your S's going here, Satan, dealing your soul. He wants to steal this word, which is the seed, which is the word of God. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 says the seed, talking about the sower that went out to sow. And he said, the seed is the word of God. I want you to turn back with me, please, in the book of Mark, chapter 4, and verse number 15. Mark 4, verse number 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Give you time to turn there. Mark 4, 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Is that not what Satan tries to do? Take away the word out of your heart. Even this morning here in this house, I promise you that as I'm preaching the word of God, that God is at work, the Holy Spirit is at work in speaking to hearts, bringing to mind and working in that heart that's lost, or that one that may be out of the will of God, that one that needs to be challenged or encouraged. He's working, but the devil is also working. He'll try to steal that away from you and take it out of your heart. That's why the devil tries to bring so many distractions into the service. That's why he tries to get your mind on something else. Why you think you need to clip your fingernails right then? Why you think you need to look at this picture right then? Or you need to think about something else you're going to do after a while? Or where are you going to have lunch? Or you get your mind wandering on something there. It's away from what the preacher's saying, away from what the Word of God said. You know what the devil's doing? He's trying to steal away that seed that's being sown here this morning. He likes to steal it out, amen. He wants to take it away. And he gave that illustration about the sower that went out to sow and said that fell by the wayside and the birds come by and they eat it and took it away. He said that's what Satan does. He tries to steal away the word of God. He wants to take it away from you. And I pray today the Holy Ghost will make it real to you. The devil's trying to steal it. Right now, if you're trying to steal it, why don't you resist the devil and say, I want to listen to the word of God. I want God to get it in my mind, get it in my heart. And then I can do something about it. Let God work in me and produce something that's worth something. And it'll bring forth some fruit. And so he wants to steal away the seed away from that. He wants to steal your substance. In Luke 15, verse number 30, as that prodigal son had gone away and wasted his living in righteous living, the Bible said that when he came home, you know the story, the father saw him a great way off, and I love that story because he saw him a great way off. He didn't say, you can't come home. He ran to him and hugged him up and told him he loved him and so forth and bring forth the best robe and ring and all that and shoes. But the elder son out there in the field, when he got home, he heard him making music and heard him, there's something going on. They're having a party. And the dad's already said, kill the fatted calf. We're going to rejoice. This my son was dead, is alive. He was lost, his family. And said, we're going to rejoice about it. And the elder brother said, what's going on? And when he found out what was going on, he wouldn't go in. He said, I'm not going in. I see him standing out there now. Said, I'm not going in. That low-down younger brother of mine been out there. And then his dad came out. And his dad besought him that he would come into the party and enjoy his brother being home. He said, I'm not coming in. He said, he wasted your living with harlots. And he had wasted it. He had wasted that. The devil did steal it away. Now, the elder brother was wrong. Because he wouldn't come in and rejoice about it. But those that have substance, the devil are trying to steal it away. These people that drink liquor and their children go hungry and their families do without. These people that buy lottery tickets and their children home needing food. And they waste their money. Amen. Devil trying to steal away your substance. He'll try to steal your substance away from you. Hey, some of you sitting here today. I always want to preach at night. But today, you're sitting here and the devil's trying to steal your substance. He'd like to take away from you. You're wasting a whole lot of it. I'm trying to tell you, don't waste it. Amen. Invest it in the work of God. That's one way to handle it. Amen. That's not my message, but I'm telling you, what the devil tried to do is take it away. But he wants to also take away your separation or your testimony and steal that away from you. You remember Jesus told Peter, said, Satan hath desired thee so they might sift thee as wheat, as flour. He wanted to sift him. He wanted to take him and mess him up and take away. Now, Peter did fail that night. He failed God, but he did repent and get right with God. On the day of Pentecost, God greatly used him. I say hallelujah for that. But the devil wants to steal away your testimony. I mentioned that a while ago. He wants to take away from you your separated. Now, when I say separated, let me say this to you. Sometimes you talk about separation in church, and people think all they think about is they don't cuss, and they don't drink liquor, and they don't run with harlots. And they think if you're really separated for God, you're separated from the world unto God. Your life goes somewhere with somebody, and it's used of God. There's a positive side to that. Amen. There's a positive side that God wants in your separation, not only from the world, but unto God. Give yourself a living sacrifice unto God, and the devil will do everything he can to steal that away. You remember Samson, that man of God that had the strength, the power? He's a Nazarite separated unto God. And that's why he didn't cut his hair. That's why he didn't touch dead bodies. That's why he was being used of God. He was delivering Israel from the Philistines. And God had his hand on him. Power of God used him. And he had but you know what? He messed up. The devil stole it away. And he got clipped. And he lost his power. And the sad thing about it was he went out and shook himself as other times and did not know that God had departed from him. That's a sad condition to get in. Realize, you know you're saved and don't realize the power of God's gone. I pray to God he help us with that. We may know when the power of God's gone. But listen, God's speaking to your heart. The devil's trying to steal that away. I'll be through here in a little bit. One of the hardest things I have to do is tell time and preach. Same time, so we'll forget that. But one other thing I want to share with you about this. He wants to take away and steal your service. You remember in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias went out there and sold the land and came back in, and he and his wife had connived together that other people were selling their land, and they was giving it all to the church. And so they wanted to look as good as everybody else, so they sold some property, but they connived together. They keep back part of it, and that wasn't a real problem. Unless God directed, told them to give all of it, they were not under obligation to give all that they had, not according to Scripture, but they give tithes and offerings. That's there, and he didn't say all of it, but as he dealt with that, Ananias, the thing that he did, he lied about it. He put on the show so that people would think that he was doing what everybody else was doing, and he could look good, and somebody pat him on the back and said, boy, you did good, gave it all. But he lied. And Peter asked him, why hath the Holy Ghost, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And what happened was God wanted to bless him, and he could have been blessed of God, could have had the blessings of God on it, but instead, God let him die right there because he did not do what he said he did do. He lied to God. And so he could have been a great service, but he lost it because Satan stole it away. Satan stole it away. Back to Samson. Satan stole it away. He could have been a great service, but Satan stole it away. Let me ask you tonight. There I am on that night again. Whatever time of day it is, night, p.m., a.m., somewhere between, the devil wants to steal from you. He's trying to take your soul, trying to take your substance, he's trying to take your service, he's trying to take your separation from God. He's trying his best to steal away this seed of the Word of God that's been preached to you. He wants to steal that away. And you not go out of the house and you change from what you was when you came in. But God is speaking to your heart. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the preciousness of the Word of God. Thank you for the reality of what you tell us in thy Word concerning the devil. Lord, you said, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Father, these people sitting in this house that's lost and without God, they're going to go to hell if they don't get saved. They need Jesus Christ as their Savior, their Lord. There are those here today that are saved and they need to come and ask God to restore that joy, get their lives back in line, because the devil's been trying to steal away their service and taking away the things that you want to give them. Father, some say here this morning the devil's tried to steal away the seed of the Word of God from their hearts. I pray right now the Holy Spirit do such a work that men and women, boys and girls want to come and say, Lord, help me. I want you to help me not let the devil steal away from me. We'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand.